Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Well, welcome to a brand new Hot Spurs podcast. It is Wednesday, the 15th of April, 2020. I'm Steve, and on this week's show, I've got the fantastic Davey Elder, i.e. the Spurs poet, for my Spurs journey. How are you doing, Davey?
Good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, I said this week, but of course I've been doing these every day practically. I keep forgetting. So great to hear from you. Obviously, we had your pal on yesterday's show. Colin, have you heard that show?
I have. My accomplice, yeah.
That's it. So you've got to change your all different answers for this one, which is going to be difficult because you're from Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
So tell us, let's start there then. So, because I've spoken to you before, and I am fascinated with history and this is my take. You go to any city in the world and, you know, most people on the tourist thing, particularly if you've never been there before, if you're not quite sure what to do, day one, you get on the red bus, you know, the double-decker bus, you get your earphones in and you go around the city listening to all the history. The difference between the history of all the cities, you know, particularly in Europe and Belfast, is that you get on the double-decker bus and all the history is like the other day. You know, within our lifetime, but certainly within our parents' and grandparents' lifetime. You know, pretty scary, because it's all the murals and all the history, you know, that incredible stuff. But you grew up in the thick of it, am I right?
Yeah, pretty much. I think anybody that was around the 70s and the 80s and some of the early 90s as well, it was kind of, you know, it was an everyday occurrence to have something happen. Myself, I've been involved in maybe, I think it's 3 bomb scares, or, you know, 4 bomb scares, I suppose. There was always something going on, and you sort of had to make a decision, even at a young age, and you kind of had to, you know, decide, are you going to follow one path or are you going to follow another? Most people that went the wrong path are probably no longer with us, or they're in jail or whatever. So it was a tough place to grow up. You know, there was certain pubs that you couldn't go to. There was certain, you know, parts of the city that you couldn't go to. But luckily for me, I suppose, because I played a lot of football, I pretty much went anywhere. I kind of went anywhere I pleased. But like as I say, it was a tough place to grow up, and there was quite a few hairy moments throughout the years. And funnily,
are you from Belfast?
No, I'm from a small village which is between Strabane and City of Derry. Okay. So I'm kind of on the northwest side of it. So from where I was born to Belfast was about 60, 70 miles.
Okay. But all the things that were going on in your town, yeah?
Yeah. It was one of the main, between Belfast and Derry, they were the two main places where, you know, if you wanted trouble and there was going to be trouble, that's where it was.
Mm. And I remember you saying about the school you went to. You had to be careful.
Yeah, where I went to school, there was 4 different schools in the area, and it was one of those ones where if you went to the shop at lunchtime or whatever, you had to be very careful what part you went to or what shop you went to, because you could have quite easily just been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Wow.
And I suppose it was, you know, back then, you were, it was a way of life, I suppose, and people, you know, were taught that this is the way and that's the way, and anybody that follows this way is no good, and anybody that goes that way is, you know, bad. So, yeah, you had to be very careful. You had to be very streetwise. I think that's, streetwise was the phrase that, you know, I grew up in a way always being streetwise and kind of carried it even through until now. Like, I still will be kind of streetwise and be wary of my surroundings, but I still, you know, I take it for what it is, and I always just know that if something does happen, I have to make a decision there and then. And that's just from growing up in that time.
Yeah, wow. And that, like I say, you know, this is, you know, most people think of stories where you have to look after yourself on a daily basis. And bombs going off and things like that. This is you know, in our life, this is in your lifetime, 20 years ago.
Yeah, like it toughened you up. And funnily, off the subject, we had our wedding anniversary, and we decided that we'd take the kids up to my mum's and we'd book into a hotel in Derry for the weekend. It was our first weekend away as a man and wife since we got married. Yeah. And of course, we were only there 20, 25 minutes. We were in the pub having a drink, and less than 50 metres away, a bomb went off. So it was like, even now, that was 2 years ago, three years ago. So, yeah, crazy.
Crazy. And how are things right now as we speak?
It's not too bad. Like, I moved. I live in Dublin now. So it's kind of, Derry got City of Culture a few years ago, and they definitely made a lot of changes to the city, and they started bringing gigs and concerts and, you know,
Your mic's going a little bit fuzzy there.
Oh, sorry. No, as I say, I've moved to Dublin, so Derry itself has got really good because it got City of Culture and they put a lot of money into it. So it's definitely not as, it's nowhere near the way it was 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago.
All right, mate. Well, keep going, but your mic is going a little bit fuzzy, so whatever you're doing, sit still or whatever.
Yeah, sorry.
It's just cracking in a little bit. Great. Well, look, what we'll do, I mean, is I always like to, you know, have a little catch up with the guests' lives, see where you're at. And I know that when we spoke before, you know, it's been a while now, you know, obviously with the stadium and everything and you coming over. And luckily we did bump into each other at Wembley.
Last
year, and I met Darren Sheen, I think, was there.
In the
TGI Fridays.
That's right. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
it.
That's
so
right.
I think we could competing for how much food we could order, and how many
and how much drink. And funny, Johnny Walker was there as well, and he has got, I don't know if you've seen it on Twitter last week, his collection of Spurs shirts is insane. Right. It is amazing. So check it out. You have to check it out.
Oh, you know what? Jason McGovern has messaged me this evening and said I need to add a question to my list of questions. And I will do that, Jason, for you. We'll start with that one then. What's your first kit you had?
Oh, the 1985 Hummel, the white Hummel one.
Yeah. Brilliant kit.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah, brilliant kit. Brilliant kit.
I remember the first time I ever saw it. I think it was... it was Hoddle wearing it, and I think it was in a it would have been a pre-season game, what, printed in the newspaper, black and white.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing it and going, wow, because it was so different. But
yeah,
it was spectacular. Is that your favourite, or have you got a favourite kit?
No, that's Hummel kit, but in the dark blue, the navy, was my favourite all-time kit.
Brilliant. I can't remember ever seeing us actually wearing it in a match, though.
The only time I ever remember seeing it, and it was in images, and it was always Chris Fairclough.
Right.
And Chris Fairclough was always wearing this kit. the dark navy, really, really nice kit. That was my favourite ever kit.
Well, that's one for Stato, who normally knows that sort of thing.
Yeah, he does.
So, yeah, brilliant. What's your favourite football club?
The world famous Tottenham Hotspur.
Why is that? Why is Tottenham your favourite football club?
It's probably more. It was more. Whenever I was very young, Ozzy's Dream came out, and one of my men. Well, I didn't remember it, but my mum tells a story of we were in a record shop, and that song was playing, and I kicked up an almighty tantrum. We were not leaving that shop until I had Ozzy's Dream. And I played it non-stop. And then, of course, that was me. That was me indoctrinated then, I suppose. So that was around 81.
And that's because of Ozzy's Dream. Wow.
Ozzy's Dream, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What was the shop? Our Price? Do you have Our Price over there?
We used to have Our Price. It was, I think it was called Wellworth at the time. Which was, people from over here would know it, but I'm not sure if it was ever in England.
Well, we had Woolworths.
Yeah, it was kind of similar. It was kind of similar.
It was a rip-off.
Yeah, it was a pound bargain version.
What's your favourite country?
This is going to be so weird, right? But it's Tunisia.
Okay.
because that's where Star Wars was filmed.
Right, okay, you're a massive Star Wars fan.
Massive.
I saw the last one. I hated Last Jedi, as many people did. Then I saw the Rise of Skywalker. It was on the last day of term.
Yeah.
At Christmas. So me and the other teachers went to watch it, and then we had our do afterwards. But obviously it was the last day of term, so we got out of the school, went to the pub for a couple of beers, and then went and watched it. And I didn't really like it, so I got it off Sky yesterday to watch with the boy because he wanted to watch it, and I watched it last night. I don't know what happened. I must have fallen asleep or something because there's so many conversations that I missed.
Yeah.
It brought it all together, and I understood it. I was like, oh, that's what that means. That's who he is. That's who she is. So honestly, if you hated it the first time, guys. Watch it a second time, and it's like, it brings it together. What do you think?
I agree. I thought whenever I seen it in the cinema, I thought, it's good. It's good. But then having seen it again, you kind of notice more and you see more, and it's like it kind of ties everything together. So, it was good. It was good.
Yeah, it was good. So you're a big Star Wars fan. You love football. I mean, you know, me and you should be. I can't believe that Colin was your best man and not me. Or did you pick it or base it on looks?
No, he paid more.
Oh, brilliant. So, okay, let's get dark now. Dark side. Who is the footballer that you dislike the most?
I suppose it's obvious. It's too obvious to say Sol Campbell, but there is a couple that I really dislike. And I suppose if you're to get me to pick one, it's definitely Chesney. The goal. I just cannot stand the bloke. I just can't. I cringe every time I see him. So.
I've always said that he's got a face like, you remember like American movies, high school movies, and there's like the cool guy who gets the girl at the end, but his mate is like the annoying one. That's who he looks like.
Yeah. There's one there where he makes a video and he goes, it's happened again. Mm. And then he looks at the camera and he said, I don't need to go on with the rest of it. And every time I see him, he makes my blood boil. I just can't. I don't like him at all.
I mean, why would you do that? Especially because, like, the number of times that we've now, you know, gone above Arsenal and, you know, Kane's goal in the summer, you know, that test, friendly.
That's right.
So which football club do you hate the most?
Arsenal.
It is Arsenal, yeah.
Yeah.
What about your favourite?
Yeah,
go on.
Yeah, it's always been Arsenal. Like, it's always been, you know, as much as people say Chelsea and West Ham and stuff, for me it was always Arsenal because they were like our North London rivals. They were neighbours.
Yeah.
You know, I it was always Arsenal for me, always.
Do you know, I was thinking, do you remember, you know, I spoke to the other guys about watching these retro programmes. And there was a point, you know, 2 or 3 years where Arsenal fans were really annoyed Tottenham by saying, "Oh, we don't even care about you anymore. You're not even our rivals. You know, we quite like Tottenham." What we need to do is when the season gets back, and if we, you know, finish above them again, we need to bring that in. We need to start saying, "Oh, we don't even. No, you're not our rival. What's it been? Four years, five years? We finished above you. Sorry, guys, you're not our rivals anymore." Robert M. Who's your favourite ever player?
Glenn Hoddle.
Yeah.
Glenn Hoddle. What a player.
Has he just done one fantastic. Of your nights?
He's not come over to Ireland, but I've met Glenn a couple of times.
Yeah.
And yet he's the one that I want to get over here. But yeah, loved him as a footballer. Love him as a bloke. He's a great bloke. So funny story about Glenn as well. Whenever I was young, Glenn had just moved. I think he'd went to Monaco. And do you remember he came out then about his Christianity?
Yeah.
And I was, like, where I lived, it wasn't a big place, but they had a church hall. And they had this poster on the church hall, and it was Glenn Hoddle, my life, my career, my faith. So I'm looking at this poster going, I wonder, is Glenn Hoddle coming here to do a talk?
Yeah.
So that the night of this talk or whatever, my mum says, "Oh, where are you going?" I says, "I'm going to church." And she goes, "No, you're not." I says, yeah, I'm going to church." She goes, "Why?" I says, "Because Glenn Hoddle's coming." And she went, "Right, okay." So I went down to the church, and it's just a video screen, and it's a like a 15-minute video of Glenn Hoddle.
Yeah.
So the thing ended, and the guy came down. And he, do you like football? Yeah, I love football. Who's your favourite team? Oh, Spurs. Who's your favourite player? Glenn Hoddle. And they start talking about, do you want to come back to church next week? And I says, do you play football here? it was that's Glenn Hoddle. This is my hero. Wherever he goes, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
But the church interfered with playing football time, so I'm afraid I followed the wrong path.
But why would your mum say you're not going to church? Was it the wrong church?
No. It's because she was shocked. She was shocked that I actually wanted to go to church. Because I only ever went two places. One was the football pitch, and the other was the tennis court beside it, which we transformed into a football pitch as well.
Of course you did. So I mentioned there about you doing your nights. How did that all start for you? Because, okay, here's my take on it, Davey. Me and Cole, obviously, we started the podcast, been a few podcasts going, and then all of a sudden, these nights start popping up, and lo and behold, it's you doing them. And I thought, is this guy doing them off his own back? Is he hiring the hall? Is he literally like tweeting these footballers and saying, fancy doing it? Am I right in that? Did you sort of do it all yourself?
Pretty much, yeah. So basically what happened was it all came around from obviously the Spurs poet thing. And I had done a poem about the great John White.
Yeah.
And then Rob, who is John's son,
yes.
I printed him off a canvas of it and sent it across. So myself and Rob started to talk and we started to, you know, get friendly. And there was a...
But you read it to him on this show.
Yeah, that's correct. And... there was a memorial match for John White, so it was FC Scotspurs against the Spurs Legends team. And Rob said, "Look, do you fancy bringing your boots over? You know, you play." I said, "Yeah, I agreed." Turned up at the game, played the match. Afterwards, I'd met Crackers. So I was speaking to Crackers, and I just had this idea: why don't you bring? You know, why can't we bring people over to Ireland? So. During the match, I'd spoke to Mark Falco, Tony Galvin, Paul Muller. You know, these type of people ended up getting a couple of phone numbers. One phone number led to 20 phone numbers. And then before I knew it, I was booking Graham Roberts and Steve Sedgley to come over. So yeah, I do the hotels, I do the flights, I do the accommodation, the food, travel. I make the tickets, I print the tickets, sell the tickets, I deliver the tickets.
Had you ever done anything like that before?
No, never.
Unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
Never.
I mean, there's one thing, you know, what I did was just went on YouTube and looked up how to produce a podcast. It took me, you know, admittedly about 24 hours, maybe two or three days to figure out all the different buttons and all the different things you need to do. And, it was quite difficult. But to do that, I mean, that is commitment. Well done.
Yeah, like it was most of the other organisers from around the UK. So you've got Darren Sheen, you've got Clive Newbury, Lorraine, there's Mark Carter up in Gloucester. Like, they'll tell you the same thing. It's for one night, it's 6 months preparation, and it's 6 months of every day constant in the back of your head. You're doing something for it. You're constantly tweeting. You know, it's 6 months for one night, and that's what it is. But I enjoy it because as a fan, it's something that I want to do. Like, I want to be able to sit down and listen to Ledley King or Graham Roberts or Mickey Hazard or, you know. And I'm very lucky that not only am I sitting down to do that with them, but, you know, I'm picking them up from the airport. I'm having lunch and breakfast with them. And, you know, it's just very, very lucky. Very, very lucky as well.
And the nights themselves are always, I've been to a couple, they're always brilliant. I mean, sometimes you think, is it going to be all right? Are they going to tell the stories? Are they, you know, is Ozzy going to sing his little In the Cup for Tottenham again? Or is he going to say, do you know what? Not they do it every time, don't they? They're brilliant.
Yeah, they do. And it just seems to be getting, especially over here, it's just getting bigger. The first ever night that I done, there was 150 people there. And then at the last night there in Dublin with Ledley King, there was 340 people there. So they're just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the support that I get from everyone is fantastic. So everybody loves to see the players come over.
That's brilliant. So who's your favourite manager of all time?
I did like Pochettino. I have to say, I did like Pochettino. I also had a fondness for Terry Venables. I like Terry. I'm just going to go with Keith Birkinshaw, because I suppose he was the one that, after Belinick, he was the most successful one. And luckily enough, I've got to sit down with Keith and, you know, spend a good bit of time with him. And, you know, just his outlook on football and the thoughts that he had, and he's just football crazy. He's dedicated to it. So yeah, I would go with Keith, but definitely Poch, Venables, and even Harry. You know, Harry, I kind of liked Harry as well. So that's the three or four.
Brilliant. What about a legendary player?
Well, it's
doesn't have to be Spurs.
Now, for someone that I thought Maradona, and I can't wait to catch up on this documentary, Maradona was a fantastic player, but although I didn't see him play, I'm going to say Dave McKay. The reason I'm saying Dave McKay is under Harry Redknapp, we played QPR at White Hart Lane, and I don't normally sit in the Paxton, but this game was in the Paxton. And Scott Parker played in midfield, and Scott Parker completely ran the show. We won 3-1, I think. Bale got a couple, whatever. So Scott Parker completely ran the show. And beside me, there was this older gentleman. And I turned around and I said, Scott Parker has been absolutely fantastic. He's ran everything. He's won every tackle. Passing's been immense. And he turned around to me and he said, Dave McKay used to do that every week. And for me, that's why I'm going for Dave McKay, because if Parker was able to do that in 90 minutes and McKay done it week in, week out, I'd go for McKay.
Brilliant. Who's your favourite ever goalkeeper?
I only seen Pat play a few times. So I suppose I'm not going to say Pat, although he is an all-time great. I'd probably go for Torsfit. I think he was kind of, whenever I was really getting into understanding football, Torsfit was there, and you know, I met him before, a nice bloke. So yeah, I'll go for Torsfit, even though Pat probably is me, probably be an idol, but yeah, I'll go for Torsfit because I've seen him play more games.
And of course, there's a meme of you talking to Pat, which is a great one.
Yeah,
I've commented on a couple of times.
Yeah, I've seen that a few times.
What, the Hotspurs podcast back? I think it's the word. Right, brilliant. So, what about? Sorry, I just lost my questions. There we go. Who's your favourite ever midfielder?
Oh, Clem. Yeah, Clem.
Anyone apart from Clem?
Do we class Bale as a midfielder?
Can do, yeah.
Yeah, I thought like Bale was sensational. Yeah. I liked Sandro as well. that was a random one.
Absolutely,
but,
we love Sandro.
I liked Sandro. Yeah, he was. I suppose Darren Anderton was an old player that kind of caught eye, and even Mickey Hazard as well, although, you know, Mickey's second spell at the club, he was kind of a different class, really.
Yeah. Now, Mickey's terrific. How is he? Do you know how he? He sent a video.
Yeah, he's on the mend. He's on the mend.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay.
He'd be fighting fit in no time.
Yeah, he's top man. Who's your favourite ever striker?
Klinsmann. The reason Klinsmann, he was a massive, like, I remember the day that we signed Klinsmann and I was just in shock. But even watching Klinsmann play, he was one of those players that he made himself available for every pass, every throw-on. Like, his movement whenever we hit a throw-on was unreal. Like, he wanted the ball all the time. He wanted to create space. The way that he moved across the pitch, and the way that he made contact with the football was outstanding. He was brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. What's the first match you ever remember seeing?
I remember seeing. I actually vaguely remember the 1984 UEFA Cup final.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the 1987. Sort of cup run, and then it was kind of the year after that before we actually got the matches on TV over here.
Yeah.
So I can't remember the first one I watched, but I remember Paul Allen played. I think it was around 88, 88, 89. That was the first time I'd seen a televised game. First game I'd ever been to was 87. It was the week after my birthday.
So hang on a minute, going back 88, 89.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been the first televised game. Would have been Sheffield Wednesday versus Tottenham in the snow.
Oh, that was Chris Waddle, wasn't it?
Paul Stewart got two goals.
Paul Stewart. That was a yellow kit.
That's it.
Yeah, that was a yellow kit.
I remember the first game on the match.
I have a funny feeling. The first game that I seen on the match was against Nottingham Forest. Paul Allen. Definitely either scored or played. I think Nicol Claassen scored as well. Because the first game I ever went to was against Aston Villa. It was in 87. It was a birthday present. It was a week after my birthday, so it would have been in January.
Yeah.
But I remember Nicol Claassen scoring in that game, and Steve Hodge got a couple as well.
Steve Hodge is a player that we don't talk about very much, but he was a great little player.
Yeah, he was very underrated, but very, very consistent, player.
Have you cried at a football match or watching Spurs?
The last one was the Ajax game, but the 1987 Cup final against Coventry. Yeah, I was in tears for that.
Well, let's not do that one, but the Ajax game. So. You in your front room on your own, or how did you watch that game?
We, myself and my wife, were in the living room watching it, and And it got to half time, and I was like, oh, look, it's been a great run. It's been fun. You know, this is typical Spurs. We're just going to get so far, and then we're not going to get over the line. Yeah. And I remember when we got to 2-2, I remember saying, we've got one more chance. And then for Tongan, was the header.
Yeah.
And I said to Rosie, my wife, I said, no, that's it. And then she actually recorded the last few minutes, but I told her not to put it up on social media because
you're not
coming. No. I wasn't looking for likes or retweets.
So that exists though, that footage.
Oh yeah, somewhere.
Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah, it does.
Let's get it out there.
No. I'll save it for a special occasion.
What about a funny moment or a funny match that you saw?
I can remember I can remember Arsenal being 4-0 up against Newcastle.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And getting pegged back to 4-4. I remember the cup final against Birmingham. Yeah. And I remember being in a pub, and there was quite a few Arsenal fans in the pub, and just it was hysterical. Like, any time that they're beat, I find it quite funny. But there's been games as well where we've played, and I've laughed because it's been like, I can't believe we're doing this all over again. You know, you need a point to finish third, and we end up getting beat 5 by Newcastle and stuff, and you just think, oh god, like,
what was that about? Unbelievable. What's the worst football match you ever saw?
I remember a couple of games against Newcastle at White Hart Lane, where they've come and beat us 1-0.
Yeah.
And they've just been absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. I remember travelling to the Reebok to watch us play Bolton one night. Yeah. And I think we lost 1-0. I think the foe scored. They gave it offside, but then they showed it on the replay in the ground. And it was a Wednesday night, I think, and it was cold and wet, and it was just terrible. It was awful.
We always used to lose to Bolton.
Yeah. I remember Campo scoring a 40-yard pile driver against us.
Yeah. We always used to lose to Bolton. That was the game that you'd always blimmin' lose.
And what do you call the bloke that they had up front? Used to play well against us every time. Centre forward.
Yeah. Yeah, he got a bit aggro in his later years.
Yeah.
Played for England.
Yeah.
Davis? Is it Davis?
Kevin Davis, wasn't it?
Kevin Davis, that's it.
Yeah. Always had a blinder against us.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. They always played well against it. It was always like we you know, we'd go on a little run, 2 or 3 game win, maybe win a big game away, and then it would be Bolton at home, and you'd go, come on, win this, and you know, and we're seventh. In the days when seventh was brilliant for us. And we'd always lose it 1-0 with you know, Robbie Keane having 15 chances and their goalkeeper playing a blinder, and always Bolton with it.
And then you're hoping not to pick up a yellow card in case you can get through in the fair play. Like, you know, get into Europe because you have a good disciplinary record.
There you go, the good old days. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
How about scary? Have you ever been at a match and you've been scared?
Funny. Yeah, I have. I've been to one. It was up in Anfield. And I suppose back for me, being over here, it was very difficult to try and get tickets when I was younger. But there was a company who done, I think it was 150 quid. You jumped on a bus, they took you over to Liverpool, got you a hotel, match ticket, brought you home. Right. So we had done this and got to Anfield, and of course wasn't the tickets in the cup. So there was a 52-seater bus, there was 3 of us were Spurs fans, the rest were Liverpool. Yeah. So we got into the cup, Liverpool scored first. Robbie Fowler got a penalty, I think. We had a blatant penalty turned down. It was actually Jurgen Klinsmann had broke through and was brought down. Penalty wasn't given.
Yeah.
And then I think it was definitely late on, maybe the last 10 minutes, Neil Ruddock scored an own goal. Now, we had just sold Ruddock to Liverpool. and he scored this own goal. So it was around 94, maybe 94-ish, 95.
Yeah.
But of course, I jumped, and this Scouser sitting in front of me, he's about, like, grown man, 40 years of age, yeah. 6'3", tattoos, the rest. And I'm this young, like, 17-year-old, and he just turns and he just says, "Sit down." I'm not going to do it. This guy's accent, but he just goes, "Sit down." And I was like, no, I'm from Northern Ireland, I'll do what I want. Yeah. And then I was told no uncertain terms to sit down and shut up. And it kind of got a wee bit tasty. And then when the final whistle went, he actually turned around, he shook my hand, and he said, "Look, I appreciate that you've come from Ireland to watch your team. Yeah. If you had been from London, it might have been a different story." So I got away with it.
Good. Well done. What about a player that you have to defend? So you've always liked him, but the general Spurs public think he's rubbish, but you're like, no, I quite like him. Does any players spring to mind?
I suppose the last one would be probably Lamella.
Yeah.
Like people really are down on Lamella, but he kind of, all right, he is limited as to what he can do, but his heart and his passion and the fight for the team, you know, you can't fault that.
Yeah.
I suppose years ago, I used to hear people slate, and I know, rest in peace, Justin Edinburgh, but Justin Edinburgh used to get terrible flack, and I find myself defending him quite a lot.
Edinburgh, certainly in the second part of his career. In the first few years, he was terrific.
Yeah. I suppose in the early years as well, like, people used to slate Gareth Bale, but you could see there was a talent there.
Mm.
And I remember having an argument on one of the social media sites, Bebo or whatever it was back then, you know, and I was saying, "Look, Bale, you know, he's a great player," and people saying, no, he's rubbish. And he's... So, yeah, I suppose out of them all, the Edinburgh and the second spell would have been the one I kept defending the most.
Right. Well, Bale, I never saw the upside of Bale until we all saw it, really, against Inter Milan. With Edinburgh, he was terrific. It's just his last couple of years, he really wasn't very good, unfortunately. Who's the first one you said?
Lamella.
With Lamella, I mean, I've got a mate who I go running with, and he can't stand him. You're with him in a certain way, because you're like, right, okay, what was it, 3 years ago we said, right, any more injuries and that's it. And then he had another one, and then another one. But just desperate for him to do well, Lamella. You know, some players you're like, oh,
he's been very unlucky.
But when he gets into a little run, he's got an eye for a pass. He's, you know, he's one of these players that the opposition don't know what he's going to do, because he doesn't know what he's going to do.
No.
He's not a flamboyant player. You know, he's not flamboyant.
He's got a nasty streak.
He gets stuck.
Yeah.
He's motivated. Can we keep him fit for a season and see what he can do, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That would be lovely. Right, and final question. What's your favourite match of all time? And it doesn't have to be a Spurs match. It can just be like, you know, aliens come down and say, "What is football?" And you give them a DVD and you say, "Well, watch this. This is what a football match is."
I suppose my favourite match... can I say a testimonial game?
Yeah.
Right, so coming from where I was coming from at this time, so we just beat Aston Villa 4-0. It was the last game of the season. Then it was Ledley King's testimonial.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't a Sherwood fan. I was kind of lost in the Sherwood era. And I couldn't wait for that season to finish. And that Ledley King game was a real release for me. I really, really enjoyed the game. It brought a smile back for that season. I actually left White Hart Lane with the biggest grins. It was just a brilliant, brilliant night. And then the next day, I actually went to the club shop And while I was in the club shop, Sherwood had been sacked or let go. So that was literally the next day.
Wow.
So like that for me, that Ledley King game was a real release. Like there's been other games that have meant so much to me. Like whenever we beat AC Milan, 1-0 with Crouch scoring. That was 4 days after my daughter was born. So we'd went to the pub to have a drink because she was born, and then we ended up watching the game as well. And that game meant a lot to me as well.
Wow.
I suppose the Inter Milan game at White Hart Lane, what a game, 3-1.
Yeah. And then we played them a couple of years later in the Europa Cup, and we were even better, if anything. Remember we went there, and I think we were 3-0 up, and they scored three, and then Adebayor had to score in extra time to put us through.
That's right.
But no, that was good. So, but you're going for the Ledley King testimonial.
Yeah, I'm
going
to go for
the.
It was because it had a meaning. A meaning for me. I suppose you could look at games like, I suppose the next game for me would be the 91 semi-final. Yeah. That would be the other game. That was amazing.
Yeah. Ah, brilliant. Right, well, that's great, Davey. Well, that is your Spurs journey.
That's my journey.
Yeah. Obviously, with everything that's going on at the moment, I presume you haven't got any dates going, or have you got something coming up at the end of the year?
No. I had originally something lined up for September, but it's not. You know, it's not going to go ahead.
No.
So I'm going to wait until I get until we all get the all clear and the lockdowns are lifted, and then get something sorted for next year then.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I think that when the lockdown is sorted and we're all back to normal, if you can say that, I think, you know, being optimistic, there's going to be lots of people wanting to do lots of things.
Yeah,
You know, so it'd be like, people are going to be keen, I'd imagine, definitely. So that's brilliant, Davey. Right, okay.
Cool, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, all right, mate. Well, it's been great chatting to you, and hope to see you up the White Hart Lane.
Yeah, as soon as we're back and as soon as we're ready to go, I'll be on the first flight over.
Brilliant. Oh, one final thing. I mean, I might not be able to do this because iTunes is being funny, but obviously you love the songs at the end of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So choose an artist and I'll choose one of their songs.
Do you know what? Let's go Metallica.
Let's go Metallica. All right. No problem. I'll see what I can do.
Cool. Perfect.
early Metallica, mid Metallica or late Metallica?
Anything off the Lightning or Injustice for All. Yeah, cool. Look forward to it.
All right, baby. I'll speak to you later.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, see you soon, mate.
Spurs.
Come on, Spurs.